Christian love, the kind of love that is selfless, sacrificial, and undeterred by obstacles. Boaz had that kind of love for Ruth. He was determined to do everything he possibly could in order to marry her and care for her. The love that Boaz had for Ruth serves as a wonderful example of the love God wants to produce in all of us. And more importantly, it's an example of God's personal love for us. This lesson is called Sealed with a Sandal.
Well, the last chapter of the book of Ruth couldn't be more dramatically different from the first chapter. Chapter 1 began with three funerals and three widows. Chapter 4 is going to close with a wedding and a baby boy. And in between, we've seen God providentially bring Ruth and Boaz together. We've watched their relationship develop. We've witnessed that midnight proposal out there on the threshing floor. And now we've held our breath over a big problem. There's another relative who has the legal right to claim Ruth as her kinsman redeemer and to purchase the family farm that belongs to Naomi's husband, according to Deuteronomy chapter 25. He's first in line for this claim. Boaz is second in line. And that brings us now to the city of Bethlehem here in Ruth chapter 4 and verse 1. Now Boaz had gone up to the gate and sat down there. And behold, the Redeemer of whom Boaz had spoken came by. So Boaz said, "Turn aside, friend, sit down here." And he turned aside and sat down. And he took 10 men of the elders of the city and said, "Sit down here." So they all sat down. Now the city gate was the place where business was conducted and legal transactions were carried out. There were rooms just inside the gate where administrative offices were built. I've stood there at the ancient ruins of city gates in Israel, and I've seen these areas, these rooms just inside the gates where legal cases were heard. By the way, this helps explain Jesus' promise to his disciples later on that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church, Matthew 16, 18. He means that all the decisions, all the plans of the demonic world will never be able to defeat the church. Well, Boaz sits down here. He invites 10 elders to sit down with him. That's the legal quorum for this proceeding. Verse 1 tells us that the other kinsman redeemer just so happened to walk by. Well, obviously, the author wants us to know that, again, God is providentially arranging these details. Boaz says here in verse 3, "Naomi, who has come back from the country of Moab, is selling the parcel of land that belonged to our relative, Elimelech." Now, the word relative in this context is a broad term. This land belonged to the extended family of Elimelech. Naomi was going to have to sell this land to make ends meet. Boaz here he's somewhat, you know, casually reminding this relative that he has the right to purchase the land and keep it in the family of Elimelech. And that goes back to Leviticus chapter 25. But let me tell you, Boaz's heart here is no doubt pounding away on the inside. He says here in verse 4, "So I thought I would tell you of it and say, buy it in the presence of those sitting here and in the presence of the elders of my people. If you will redeem it, redeem it. But if you will not, well, tell me that I may know, for there is no one beside you to redeem it, and I come after you." In other words, you know, if you don't want to buy it, well, I might as well buy it for myself and keep it in the family. And that man answers here, "I will redeem it." And I imagine Boaz's heart skipped a beat or two. Now, if you study his strategy here, I believe Boaz expected this man to respond with positive interest. Watch Boaz respond here in verse 5. "The day you buy the field from the hand of Naomi, you also acquire Ruth, the Moabite, the widow of the dead, in order to perpetuate the name of the dead in his inheritance." Now, obviously, this man hadn't thought about Naomi or Ruth. He just wants land. And Boaz kind of layers out the bad news here one piece at a time. Naomi and Ruth come with this parcel of land. And who is Ruth? Well, she's that Moabite, you know, those idolatrous people who are enemies of Israel. And Boaz adds to that, she's the widow of the dead, which means whoever buys the land is required by law to marry her. Oh, and one more thing. Boaz just kind of throws it in here. You're going to have to perpetuate the name of the dead. In other words, you're going to have a child with Ruth, Lord willing, and this child will become heir of the land in the name of Ruth's former husband. And then, get this, you're going to give that land to that child when he grows up. Now, listen, who would want to marry a Moabite widow, and purchase a piece of property only to have to give it away later? There's only one person in the world who would want to do that. Someone who happens to be in love with the widow. That's who. Well, as quickly as this man said, I will redeem it. Well, now he's looking for the back door. He says to Boaz here in verse 6, I cannot redeem it for myself, lest I impair my own inheritance. Take my right of redemption yourself, for I cannot redeem it. You know what? I think Boaz shouts here, yee-haw! Well, I think that's in between the lines, but that ratifies this decision. Now in verse 7, now this was the custom in former times in Israel concerning redeeming and exchanging. To confirm a transaction, the one drew off his sandal and gave it to the other. So when the redeemer said to Boaz, buy it for yourself, he drew off his sandal. So this man is essentially saying, Boaz, you get to walk in my sandals. You can take my place. Now, Ruth chapter 4 here doesn't give us any details of the wedding garments, or how long the celebration lasted. It simply informs us that Prince Boaz has effectively rescued this damsel in distress. The bride and the groom are married at last. Now, let me ask you, you ever thought about the fact that Boaz is willing to marry a foreign widow? Why? Why would a godly man like Boaz jeopardize his reputation, have children that are half Israelite and half Moabite, half Gentile? His name is going to be whispered about town as the man who married that former Gentile, you know, idolater. Well, for one thing, Boaz knows Ruth has become a follower of God. It wasn't for money or any advantage. In fact, remember that following the Lord meant Ruth had walked away from her family and friends. Everything she knew, she'd left that all behind in Moab. She's now following God. But let me tell you, Ruth reminded Boaz of someone else he loved. You see, Boaz already knew the testimony of a Gentile woman who had left her country and her idols to follow the God of Abraham, his own mother. We know her as Rahab, the harlot. Well, that's right. The same woman who'd helped the Israelite spies years earlier, the same woman who'd followed after Israel when the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. Rahab converted from idolatry to faith in the true and living God. And later on, the Bible tells us that an Israelite man named Salmon married her. I mean, think about it. A Gentile woman with a sordid past. And they end up in the genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1 and verse 5. So Boaz is essentially willing to do the very same thing his father had done years before. See, God had already prepared Boaz's heart to love a Gentile bride and become her kinsman redeemer. Don't forget, beloved, your kinsman redeemer, Jesus Christ, is right now redeeming his bride, the church, and every one of us have a sinful past. But let me tell you, his love for you hasn't ruined his reputation. It only exalted his grace as your faithful kinsman redeemer, and he invited you in to his family. Well, there's more to uncover in this love story. That'll be next time in our wisdom journey. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey and a lesson he called Sealed with a Sandal. This is the Wisdom Journey. Stephen Davey is taking you through all 66 books of the Bible. He has a new lesson for you each weekday, and I hope you'll be along for all of it. If you'd like to access the video versions of these daily lessons, I encourage you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. There's a link in the show notes. Join us next time on the Wisdom Journey.